It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. My guest this first half hour, live, U.S. Representative Cindy Axne is with us of Iowa's 3rd District. That's the 3rd District, the southwest quadrant of the state, including Des Moines and West Des Moines. U.S. Representative Cindy Axne with us. Congresswoman Axne, welcome to the program.
Well, great to be with everybody today. Thanks for having me on.
What times we are living through these days. We're glad to have your voice here. We want to reach out to our listeners this half hour. You'll be with us the first half hour to join us with questions. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Email river2river@iowapublicradio.com. .org. I want to remind, Representative Axne, that you serve on the Financial Services and Agriculture Committees in Congress. We've been having a lot happening in the last hour here. I can't summarize it all, but I'm sure you've been taking in some of the White House briefing on the White House pushing for quick direct payments to Americans to shore up the country economically after the plummet on Wall Street. Also here in the state, within the last hour or so, Governor Reynolds announcing that she'd ordered an end to dine-in options at restaurants and closed bars, other recreational facilities for 2 weeks to help, of course, stop the spread of the coronavirus, making that order through a proclamation known as a state of public health disaster emergency. It went into effect just minutes ago at 12 noon today and continues until March 31st. You're taking it in as we are as well, Representative Axne. It's been talked about in so many different ways the last few days. I would like to hear in your words, how would you characterize what we're facing?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Obviously, this is a pandemic across this country that we absolutely need every single person in every single community to participate in doing as much as they possibly can to limit exposure and to take our numbers down. Not only is this a health epidemic, but as you just described, a huge economic downturn for our country. I have been on the phone consistently over the last several days after taking our almost 1 a.m. vote in the House Saturday morning to ensure that we moved our family's first bill through to shore up the economic issues, as well as ensure that every single person in this country had availability to a free coronavirus test. Came back home and have been consistently working with folks from our economic development organizations, to our VA, to our hospitals, to the director of aging in our state, to our school system on the issues that we're facing. This is something that will impact our communities for a while. We don't know when we will see a possible end to the impact that it will have. But I can tell you one thing, if folks take this seriously, do everything that they possibly can to limit exposure and to help others do that as well, we can flatten the curve and hopefully see this move through our system and our community in a more timely fashion. So everybody needs to take this these precautions extremely seriously and do as much as they possibly can to not exacerbate the problems that we're facing, to think about community members that are in need, and to ensure that we appropriately behave in a way that ensures that every single person in our communities has the opportunity and access for the health needs that they're facing, as well as the things that they need to just purchase. From cleaning supplies and hand sanitizers to food. So we've got a lot that we're working on. Literally, this is all hands on deck at this point.
Mm-hmm. Join us with your question for U.S. Representative Cindy Axne live for the next 20 minutes or so here on River to River. 1-866-780-9100, especially if you're personally impacted. We're all impacted to some degree, of course. Perhaps a business that is impacted. You're a business owner. 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. Congresswoman Axne, you mentioned what's happening in Congress, a legislative response to the coronavirus now in the Senate's hands. The House passed an amended version of a bill providing paid sick leave to millions of American workers, bolstering unemployment insurance. Talk about some of the other things that it does.
Yeah, absolutely. It increases funding for SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, to make sure that folks across the country get the nutrition that they need. It increases funding for senior home delivery of meals. And just getting off the phone with our director of aging at the state, I know that that is a huge issue that we're facing, so I want to make sure that we've got the funding to cover that, as well as increases the assistance for food banks and continues to make it easier for schools to provide free and reduced cost lunches. Further, it does guarantee free testing for all individuals, regardless of insurance status, to get coronavirus testing. I know that in the Senate side of things, they're even trying to take that further right now. I know from Schumer that they're trying to cover COVID-19 expenses. So I know they're trying to expand that. It also, our bill increases the federal medical assistance percentage, which is essentially federal cost share for Medicaid and CHIP. It increases that by 6.2% across the board. What that means, folks, is that this is the fastest way to get additional funding into our state, which can be used to cover additional public health care costs. Mm-hmm. It provides funding for expanded unemployment insurance, first to cover all the additional administrative costs to move people through the system as quickly as possible. And in states where we're going to see greater than a 10% increase in the number of unemployment claims, it incentivizes those states to relax eligibility requirements, things like, work search eligibilities, et cetera. For our businesses, and I know you just mentioned this, it creates a requirement that employers with fewer than 500 employees provide 2 weeks of paid sick leave and up to 3 months of paid family leave during this public health emergency. Those first 2 weeks would be paid at full salary, and the remaining 10 at two-thirds of that normal rate. Those part-time employees would be entitled to pay for the typical number of hours that they work in a two-week period. We're trying to expedite that, ensuring that those small businesses will have the capital to cover that. So I've written a letter to the Small Business Administration on two things. First and foremost, to get out loans as quickly as possible, because that was in our first coronavirus bill that we put out about 10 days ago, was an additional $7 billion in loans to small businesses so they could stay afloat. And I want to expedite that. But secondly, to make sure that as they move forward to pay sick leave, and again, this is our bill, we got to get this all signed into law. But if they move forward to providing the paid sick leave and paid family leave, that they're reimbursed in a timely manner so that they can handle that cash outlay. So these are all things that we're working on. That's some top line issues of what is being worked on right now. And we're going to continue to expand. It's the reason why I've been on the phone with all of our, key stakeholders in multiple areas, as I mentioned earlier, to find out where those fine details are and ensure that we address those in our next package as well. Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue to work on these.
I understand this legislation. Is your sense, Congresswoman Axne, that this will pass the Senate and be signed by the president in fairly short order, this Families First Coronavirus Response Act?
It is my sense. The speaker worked extensively with Secretary Mnuchin, who's obviously with the president's administration, to ensure that this was something that we felt we could get support for. It passed through the House with all bipartisan support, 300 folks voting for it, only 40 people abstaining, not voting for it. So it does have massive bipartisan support. We don't work on anything of this great importance without understanding that we know it can get passed. So I feel confident that they're going to be able to find a good place within the Senate where we can get this bill signed into law this week.
Okay. Congresswoman Axne with us until half past. We invite you to join, especially if you are personally impacted by the coronavirus outbreak. All of us are to a certain degree. We all have different stories of impact. Chimai is with us from Waukee. Chimai, I hope I got your name right. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Hello, Congresswoman. I wanted to ask about the retail workers, like the ones that are in the forefront of this whole thing. They kind of come into, like, you know, they're kind of exposed to like hundreds of shoppers, a whole lot of them over the past week or so. And so they, are there any things that are being done to kind of help them in terms of hazard pay or some kind of things? Because these people, they have to show up for work. They can't work from home like many of us. That's it.
Thank you for your question, Chimai.
Certainly we are trying to work with every business to ensure that they keep their employees safe. The number one reason that we are making sure that we have paid sick leave and FMLA is to keep sick people home. We don't want people getting sick in the workplace. We don't want them bringing it in and carrying it over to other employees or to the, you know, customers that they're serving. So we're hoping that putting that piece in place really allows people the opportunity to do what they need to do, which is to stay home if they can't be there, whether it means taking care of themselves because they're exhibiting some type of symptom or are sick in any way that would create that, make them more vulnerable. And also to ensure that if they need to stay home with their children or someone that's sick in their family, that they're going to get pay to make sure that they cover that. So that's number one reason why we've got to ensure that this Families First bill goes through. We are hearing across the board to your question that we don't have enough supplies, especially things like personal protective equipment in areas where we need them. That's certainly in our healthcare facilities. It is in some of our places where people are coming in on a consistent basis, as you mentioned, maybe in stores to get supplies and things like that. I'll be honest. There were some things that should have been done earlier on. What that means is that the supply chain hasn't gotten these products out to the areas that need them in a timely manner. So we've got to make sure that that personal protective equipment is available to the workers who are facing, a possibility of being exposed because of their workplace. We are working on that. Every single phone call that I have with folks, whether it's in the healthcare industry or business or whatever it is, I've got staff on the line with me. We move that agenda forward. We push those issues straight up to leadership to get that included in a bill. So I couldn't agree with you more. We've got to be much more quick in how we protect those folks who are on the front line.
Mm-hmm. Along those lines, Representative Axney, one of our listeners tweets with some concern about the number of ventilators that may be available. Of course, ventilators used in the most severe cases, mechanical ventilators, may be the difference between life and death in those cases. What is your sense of the number of ventilators we have in this country that we can make available and that spike in the cases, or hopefully we'll be able to flatten that curve as we've been talking about?
No, you're absolutely right. And it's exactly why we need to flatten that curve. I mean, right here in Iowa, if we continue to see the numbers going the way that we are, we could be looking at around, 7% of the population being infected. If that means if 230,000 people are diagnosed, of that maybe just shy of 50,000 will need hospitalization. We don't have that many beds in Iowa. We have less than 10,000 beds in Iowa. What that means is we need every single person, as I mentioned, to do as much as they can to not tax the system, because we don't have the beds. We don't have the ventilators that folks need. We don't have the protective masks for the staff. So we need folks to do every single thing they can. We don't have, we're trying to open up and figure out how we can get people who are not infected with COVID-19 into available beds within nursing homes. But right now there's no option. They don't want to take people in. But we're going to have to vacate some of our hospital space to be fully prepared for this. So we do have a lot of those issues that we need to address. Certainly ventilators are one of those that we don't have enough of at this point.
Let's go to another question as our time comes to an end in about five more minutes with Congresswoman Cindy Axney. Miriam is joining us. Miriam, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from St. Donatus, Iowa.
Mm-hmm. What is your question?
I just came here last March, just a year ago, almost to the day, from Chicago, where I worked in show business, and I'm starting a bed and breakfast that I've spent nearly $300,000 renovating a house here to do this. And I can't, all my reservations have gone away for the whole summer. So I don't know if, and I can't get work in show business because everything is shut down too. So I have virtually no source of income for the foreseeable future. I don't know if there's programs for people like me, you know, just starting a business.
Yeah, Miriam, our hearts go out to you. That is a story that is being often repeated in our state, in our country. Congresswoman Axne, what words do you have for Miriam?
Well, Miriam, first and foremost, thank you for moving here and starting up a business in our state. We're going to be here to help you in any way we possibly can. We are looking at, obviously, ideas around giving every, working American or, I don't know the structure around this yet, folks. Don't hold me to anything, but we may be able to, give everybody a cash influx of $1,000 or something like that to keep people afloat so that they can, continue to have some economic success, which in partially will help you get back to business more quickly. We are looking at all kinds of opportunities within the business sector, whether that's looking at overriding business interruption insurance or landlord rent reprieve for, small businesses who rent. I've got to look at all of these issues to make sure that we can move that agenda forward, including my request to the Small Business Administration to relax all of their requirements to get capital out to businesses to ensure that they stay afloat. Yours sounds like kind of a one-off that we're going to have to look at, and I'd encourage you to reach out to my team, and we will see what we can find out for you. I don't know where businesses sit that are in the process of starting up, but at this point, haven't lost any revenue. But I do understand what you're saying. You don't have the access to capital to keep this thing afloat until this starts happening. So I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Please reach out to our office. Go to our website. Axne.house.gov to find our phone numbers, and we'll see what we can do for you.
Okay, let's go back to our phones. Bicky in Iowa City, coming up on the end of our time with Congresswoman Axne. Bicky, we're sure glad you could join us. What's your question?
Thank you. My question is for retail workers who have pre-existing conditions or underlying conditions and are afraid to be exposed to members in the community with the virus. Is there any way to help them take time off so that they're not in?
Yeah, this would be where our law and our family's first bill would hopefully go into effect for you, allowing paid sick leave, for folks who are vulnerable. We have a gap here because it doesn't cover every business in this country. I'd like to see our large corporations be more responsible. The expectation is that our large corporations already provide paid sick leave as well as family leave. I personally know that that's not always paid family leave, and I want to see us figure out how we can expand this bill to cover that. We had pushed back, unfortunately, on making sure that every company in America provided this. So we're going to continue to work on this, but I appreciate you bringing that up because a lot of the things that are structured right now, you've got to be sick and not necessarily so much of a preventative piece. But I, as somebody who I understand that as family members have those type of pre-existing conditions that leave you more vulnerable, the last thing we want to do is send you out into an environment that could cause you to get sick. Thank you for bringing that up. My team's listening. I think that's something we should make sure gets included as a detail as part of the bill.
Thank you for the call, Bicky, in Iowa City. Congresswoman Axne, what does this national health emergency, and we are just at the front end of it, hopefully that curve will be flattened. What does it tell us, though, at this point about the state of health care in this country longer term in terms of how prepared we are for this and what changes we need to have made to avoid this in the future?
Yeah, certainly,
you know, from leadership on down, these are the types of things that need to be taken very seriously. Unfortunately, you know, we're a little bit behind the eight ball here because there were some opportunities that this administration didn't take advantage of, like getting tests from the World Health Organization that could have put us in testing folks sooner, like they've done in South Korea. So certainly we need to ensure that things that have happened over the last several years, in particular under this administration, like not funding CDC positions, not taking opportunities for things that were put right in front of us to protect our country, don't ever happen again. We need to continue to fund, looking at diseases across the country. The National Institutes of Health need the funding that's necessary. The CDC needs its funding. It needs to ensure that we replace people who leave there and don't leave these positions open. So those are two key things. And then secondly, as we look to how this pandemic has spread, we've got to go to the root cause. This came out of China. We're seeing this, we believe, coming out of what are called wet markets, in the way that food is delivered in countries, unlike our own, that don't have some of the same regulations with how they sell it. If we're going to be looking at a global world, we need to be looking globally at how we keep people safe. And that means that sometimes we're going to have to come together with some type of coalition with all countries to understand that we're in this together, we impact each other, and we better have regulations that certainly aren't just for one place and not for another, that leave the rest of us open for this type of situation to occur again. So there's a lot we need to be doing, not just in ensuring that here in the United States we've got the supply chain mechanism to move products out, equipment, et cetera, in a timely manner, and ensure that we've got enough hospital beds and things like that for pandemics like this. But we also have to go back to the root cause and say, why is this happening to begin with? And why are we seeing more of these worldwide spreads? What are we going to do to address the root issue?
Quickly, in 20 seconds, how is the coronavirus impacting the way you work, Congresswoman Axne?
Let's just say that the Congresswoman needs to go get some stuff for her own family. My husband has asthma. The last thing I want him to do is go out. As a congressperson with children at home, I couldn't be doing this job without him. My family now needs me to be able to go out to the grocery store and make that happen.
Well, okay.
Because we're going to run out of things as we already are. And so we're all, you know, we're all in this together. And, you know, my problem's no worse than anybody else's. Yes, you're right. And we heard these folks who said, I got to be working because I don't have an option. I understand where they're coming from. We need to give everybody an opportunity to help themselves.
U.S. Representative Cindy Axne, thank you for joining us this half hour. We appreciate it.
Thank you.